Hello and welcome to another episode of Big Sad Fun, a sports podcast. My name is James Johnson and I'm here with my co-host
Edward Dickey.
Edward, we took a week or two off, but yeah, we are back.
You had to do some school stuff.
I had some other priorities or other things. I had other responsibilities I had to take care of, but
this
we're back.
This man is 600 years old and has been in school for 500 of them.
This, you know, education is the future, man.
That's one way to put it.
But we are back, and it's good to be back. It is a hot day, you told me. I haven't been outside yet today.
Man, you got to touch some earth, man. I know. Every day you got to touch
the
earth.
Well, eventually I have to go outside to my car, so...
Well, but like if you're touching the pavement, that's not the earth.
Well, I don't like being dirty, man.
You gotta walk through the grass every day.
I like it. So let's jump right into it. So the big, we want to talk about baseball.
Yeah, man. We're hot in the middle of baseball season.
Well, I don't know if we're hot in the middle. I think like the season's 10% over, maybe.
We're hot in the beginning of the first part of it.
That's right. Have you been to a game yet?
I have.
Okay.
I went by myself.
Oh, man.
It was awesome.
You should have called me. I would have gone with you.
I got tickets like an hour and a half before the game.
Oh, that's right. You did text me.
I think I did.
Yeah. And I couldn't do it.
But I sat. I had an empty seat on both sides of me.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I had a score sheet and a hot dog. And it was... one of the greatest experiences. I didn't talk to anybody.
That does sound amazing. I used to do that all the time. Go to games by myself and sit up and way up in the stands and write papers and stuff.
Yeah, I used to. I mean, it's a fun environment to be in.
It really is.
It doesn't even matter.
Absolutely.
We won the game big. I left early.
Good. Well, maybe you're the good luck charm. Maybe you need to go to more games.
Braves.
Hopefully, we're going to get a chance to go to see the Cubs this week.
Yeah, your team.
That's my team. And
speaking of. You know, jumping right into
we
it.
We got this,
and that's
this
how
rookie.
Yes, segue.
And that's how you segue. So we got
so
this rookie.
While they don't have the greatest record, like the Braves.
No, we're about the same boat. As we start our 3-game stint tomorrow, we're Cubs are 7-9. The Braves are 7-10.
We've had one more game.
So a little bit of a stumble out the gate, but not terrible. Not.
You know, with baseball. You're going to lose a bunch of games. You're going to win a bunch of games.
Hey, you know what that's what they say. They say everyone team's going to win 54. Every team's going to lose 54. It's what you do with the middle 54 that matter.
Which is why I always think betting on single game baseball is ridiculous.
It's a ridiculous thing to do. Absolutely it is. But can I tell you this? I saw a stat line today or a betting line today that for a dollar you can win $10,000. If the Kansas City Royals win the World Series.
Well, I might place that bet.
That's not a bad bet, I don't think. $1? Come on.
And $1, and all the only thing that has to happen is like some wild moves at the trade deadline.
I know, right? You know that's true. Yeah. You know that's absolutely true. Or maybe you inspire some people to play better. Not that that would ever happen. There's no betting in baseball.
No. Not between the players.
So I'm excited about it. The Cubs coming to town, though, and I hope that we get out there to see them. I am excited about this kid we got, the Suzuki kid from
Japan.
Yeah,
we're out of respect and everything. We're not going to attempt his first name.
Absolutely not. We don't try to pronounce things here on Big
I'm not going to try and pronounce something that I know is going to offend everybody.
Just because next week it becomes our sad. We have to talk about apologizing for the way that we...
for causing World War III.
Exactly.
But
he's on fire, man. He is
playing great.
He's playing
a little bit, you know, you don't get to watch a lot of baseball because I don't think always the national coverage games are great.
Yeah.
Broadcasts. But I think... so you don't get to watch a lot of other teams play, but a little bit I've gotten to see of Suzuki through like highlights and everything.
Yeah,
he's a player. And
he is.
It's tough to judge players this early.
It absolutely is because he's coming
because of Jeff Francoeur.
Well, yeah, here's the thing: like he is somebody who's coming out of Japan. He's an older guy. He's 27. He is somebody who is hot right now. No one's ever seen him before. As he goes back through the teams
it'll
be interesting to see.
Other than like crazy baseball nerds,
right?
And, you know, I would be interested to see, like, what level of minors the Japanese league compares to.
Yeah. I would be interested to know that, too.
I know, like, they said the KBO when I used to watch it, when our friend Tom Hart used to announce for them.
Yeah. Shout out Tom Hart.
Yeah.
Fan of the show.
Friend of the show. But they said that it kind of equates to, like, double-A ball.
Okay.
Over there.
So not even quite triple-A.
Not quite, but, like... it's not a huge country. Like,
right. But they know how to play over there. I mean, this is professional baseball.
It's definitely professional baseball, but I wonder how, like, if you, and obviously the logistics of this, but if you could just pick up a team from the Japanese league and drop them into a minor league system, a minor league team.
Oh, interesting.
How would drop them into a minor league?
I think we've got ourselves an idea for a great movie right here.
You know, I'm sure it's happened, but we can do it better.
It does remind me of that movie with Tom Selleck, Mr. Baseball.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit. We're going to actually finish out our movie bracket, but Tom Selleck goes over to Japan and you know, he's an older player or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like what when the European soccer players come over here playing MLS.
Yeah.
I can't believe that movie's probably culturally sensitive. I have not seen it in 30 years.
probably not, but the sentiment was good.
But in any case, this guy's
Suzuki. But there are a lot of great Japanese-born baseball players.
Absolutely.
I'm not in any way.
Ichiro might be the greatest hitter of all time.
You know, there's an argument there with, you know, how do you compare? Because technically,
he has more hits than anyone if you take all of his professional baseball.
Yes, if you take the Japanese hits.
Right.
You know,
they don't translate. Let's just be clear. I don't think they translate. But
think it's definitely A level. It's probably better than high school baseball is here.
No, absolutely.
And so, but it's like, at what level of minor league?
It's the kind of situation where, he played so long in Japan, just like the Suzuki kid has already played in Japan for a while. So, you know, if he had been in Major League Baseball the entire time, what would his hit total have been?
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like with Warren Moon and playing in the USFL, right? Like,
yes.
his total yards would have been out of the world, you know, out of the world for the NFL, but he played so long in the USFL.
Warren Moon's one of my favorite underrated football players.
Absolutely, man. I remember watching him play for the Oilers, and he was
A little before my time, but I like watching old tapes of him.
I saw a few games of him.
But
speaking of Japan baseball, though, there was this kid over there who he threw two perfect games in a row or almost did.
I saw something about that.
Yeah.
And I even thought, I need to, like, I was doing something. I got the notification. I was like, that looks fascinating. I need to look that up. And I never actually did.
Yeah.
I need to figure out more about that.
Yeah,
but
I remember seeing something about that.
Because there's some, like, young phenom over there that I've heard about.
I was wondering. He's young, too. He's a kid, like 21 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. But
I'm sure he'll be a Yankee soon.
Yeah. Now, that is interesting, though, that they don't – and I don't know that they don't, but – well, they might. Are they in the foreign draft?
See, I don't know.
Because it
seems like they come over and bid on them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what happens, but I don't know.
I think there's probably like an age.
I bet there is.
Like, because I know that we got Acuña in the foreign draft.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Maybe because they're coming from professional.
Baseball, man,
I don't know.
There's so many moving parts.
Yeah, it is.
I don't even know what arbitration means. As I've said before. I understand the game. I don't understand the front office stuff.
Yeah, well, you don't need to. As long as you understand what's going on the field,
you're
good to go, right?
And I will say, though, the game that I went to was, I don't know if you saw it, but there was a weird pickle. And like, it was an error on the catcher who fell over and tripped over the guy in the pickle.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I was
you
trying
were
to
that game. Okay.
I was trying to score that, and I was
how do you do that? Yeah.
I think I just looked at because there's a little thing that says like how the official scores are.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was like, I'm not even going
to
guess at that. Especially when you're in the upper deck.
Absolutely.
I have no idea what just happened.
Yeah,
did somebody get hit with the ball? What happened?
That is awesome. Oh, that's funny that you were there at that game. So how are the Braves doing? How are you feeling about the Braves?
We're in a similar spot.
Pickle?
We're in a similar spot as the Cubs.
Yeah.
With very similar records. The top of our lineup is playing pretty well.
Is Acuña back?
No.
No. Okay.
He's dominating AAA.
Oh, of course he is.
I mean, he took the jumbo shrimps pitcher and just ate that guy alive.
Oh man. Okay.
Which can you imagine being like a 20-year-old guy in AAA?
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, all of a sudden you're gonna have to pitch against Ronald Acuña.
Yeah, right.
Probably one of the best, like the future of baseball.
Right. It's like Mike Trout steps up to the plate.
Yeah, exactly.
Albert Pujols.
but you know, I think the bottom of our lineup is just where we're struggling.
Is that right? How's the pitching holding up?
Okay.
Yeah.
You know.
That doesn't sound like a vote of confidence to me.
Some guys are looking great.
Right.
Then, you know.
And so.
We just got rid of Newcomb. I think y'all picked up Newcomb.
Is that right?
I think.
Well, all right. Let's go. Maybe he'll play this week.
If he shows up, he's going to throw like, you know, three scoreless innings against us.
Oh, no doubt.
Can you check that to make sure he did go to the Cubs?
Yeah, I'll look into it.
Because, I mean, he's a guy who had, you know, there's several guys who have had all of the makings of a star, and it just didn't pan out. Another Cub, Jason Hayward. Nobody looks better in a uniform than Jason Hayward.
Yeah, he went to the Cubs.
Yeah. Oh, Newcomb?
Yeah, Newcomb. Yeah. Yeah, I was at Jason Hayward's very first baseball game in Atlanta here when he
and
hit
he
that home run.
Amazing.
He hit a home run like first pitch.
Yeah. And I think with him getting hit in the face with that ball will change your approach a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he was part of that World Series team we had a few years ago.
And, you know, there was that meme of him, you know, celebrating, and then they showed, like, postseason batting average of, like, 109. And it was like, you know, the meme was like, when you're a part of the group project, you didn't do anything. But I still say they don't make it to the playoffs without Jason Hayward. That's a whole other situation. But yeah, man, you know, I'm just happy baseball's back, you know?
Me too, man. It's, you know, I've told you many times, I don't really watch baseball until Memorial Day. It's kind of when it starts for me after we get through the draft and all the things that happen with the NFL and the NBA playoffs. And so that's when I start to focus on baseball. But I am just glad to know that it's happening, and I'm looking forward to getting to a game.
So, and what I enjoy doing, and you might also enjoy, is putting a game on the radio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, we've talked about that. Yeah,
and just, like, doing other things.
Absolutely.
And that's been really nice to be able to do.
Absolutely. Especially, like, late night. So, yeah. if you can find, like, a late night game on a radio station.
Oh, yeah. I always pick a West Coast team.
Yeah.
Just because they're on TV.
Yeah.
Like
the Padres, man.
Yeah. Yeah. For a while, it was
the
Padres.
Mariners.
Yeah. And, man, the Braves did that West Coast trip. And recently, and it was like, man, I forgot how tough it is to stay up for these.
I figured you're a late night guy.
I am, but when a game starts at 10:10,
maybe
it's
a little
hard,
too late.
It's hard to get me to focus on baseball at 2 o'clock in the morning.
No doubt, no doubt.
There's Luke Jackson. He's hurt for us. He's a relief pitcher. And he tweeted out, like, This being my first time, like, being on the East Coast for and my team being on the West Coast, I immediately feel so much worse for our fans. This is tough. Like,
yeah, right. I can't even imagine what it'd be like to have to play in that flip schedule like that.
Yeah. Which one do you think would be harder? Being on West Coast time, having to come to the East Coast, or East Coast going West Coast?
I've always found it harder to go west. I think
I would think so, but imagine especially baseball where you're so like routine based.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
imagine
the fact that it's like a 3-hour difference is the huge deal, right?
Yeah.
So I've never actually traversed that kind of time scheduling before. I've gone from Eastern time to Central time back to Eastern time.
Have you ever been to California?
Right. I think I might have been when
I was a
kid.
I'm saying this as if I just always. I've been once. I was there for a day.
I've never had that kind of impact before. But I've always found it harder to go west, I think.
It's like losing the hour.
I feel like you lose so much. Yeah.
But like I just imagine like if the Dodgers play the Braves and in Atlanta, and it's a like one of those businessman specials, you know, like the 12 o'clock game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if you are one of the Dodgers players, like your body time.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Is like.
Well, yeah. It's like
9 in the morning.
It's like those football players who have to play over in London at 9:30 in the morning, their time.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like 1 o'clock or whatever over there, you know, whatever.
I think it's wild that like seemingly no player likes that London game.
There's no way. And they're going to start playing some in Germany. I mean, that's even further away. So.
I don't know, man. Let them kind of start their, like, I would say maybe play one game and then give them money and let them start their own league.
Yeah, well, they tried that. It was called NFL Europe. Didn't work.
Well, that was just because it was all our rejects.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But let it be German players playing.
That'd be interesting. That'd be fun. You know, speaking of baseball, though, you know, I mentioned that I wanted to get, like, a game package, and you said your dad was going to call me. He never did. What's up?
I talked to him, and he said to tell you to call him.
This is me calling you. This is me calling you. Come on, Dad. Come on, Pops.
I'll make it happen. He wants to do it though.
All right. So
he might have not listened.
So I want to mention one thing before we get off baseball. And you may have something else you want to say too. But this is kind of part of a sad thing. So this is just something to talk about during the big piece of baseball that we're talking about here. But the Kershaw thing, where Kershaw pitches like 7 or 8 innings of perfect baseball, and then he gets pulled.
So
what do you do with it? And it wasn't even like he was like maybe 80 pitches, like maybe 90 pitches.
And
into.
Now the thing, like,
how do you the, how the you fact take a, the how fact do you take a perfect game away from somebody?
He said he was okay with it.
He was like through 8 innings, I think.
I think seven.
Oh man,
but
I don't know.
Still, it's like
regardless.
And it was his first pitch out. like first time pitching that year.
Yeah, and he's you won him for the postseason.
Yeah, all that.
And he's got injury.
But there
concerns.
Have there have been what? Maybe 30 perfect games in the history
of
baseball.
No, not even that. I think there's 23. Okay. I think the number's 23. There
have
been
I thought it was 23.
There have been more people
that
have orbited the moon than have pitched perfect games.
Wow.
All right. So, and he could have been 24.
And, I mean, it's just, if it's a no-hitter, I get it. No, yeah, no hitters happen all the time.
I mean, no-hitters, that seems to be a pandemic of those. Well, too soon. But there is, you remember last year, there was a ton of them, right?
Yeah.
So no hitters
I mean, it had everybody saying that they're messing with the balls. Like,
yeah.
Like Tom Brady out here. wordplay.
But a perfect game, you don't pull somebody. I imagine like you're watching For Love of the Game and they pull Kevin Costner in the eighth inning. That kind of ruins that movie, doesn't it?
I mean, and it goes to the larger point of nerds ruining baseball.
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't play, so they've decided to ruin the game.
Yeah.
With all this launch angle.
The launch angle and I saw something today on an ad on one of these ads that pop up on one of your things when you accept cookies or whatever. And it was like, how to help your launch angle. And it was like a machine that would like, and I'm like, why are you even trying to get me to buy this?
I think that means that the internet thinks that you're a 15-year-old high school baseball player.
I think it does. I mean, based on my searches, maybe that's what it's been.
But I mean, you know, and it's the same thing with, like, and I think to some degree it's okay. Like, I don't think every pitcher who goes out needs to throw 120 pitches
right.
and have their own. But
you got a perfect game going.
You got a perfect game
that's
going.
The whole
but I'm just the larger point about analytic.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
A guy can face the order three times.
Yeah.
The world's not going to collapse.
Right.
And, you know, you don't. It's one of those, like, I don't think this is a good idea, but my little note card that I have in my pocket says that this is what we need to
do.
You
think that they're that tied to those analytics?
I think some guys are. And analytics can be a tool that can help.
Right.
But I think, you know, whatever. there's a quote from Nolan Ryan where there's somebody talking about analytics to him. And he said, when I kick my leg higher, the ball goes faster. Put that in your machine. But one of the no-hitters last year, and, you know, you'll see this with, like, high school recruiting.
Yeah.
Where like they don't want a pitcher who like because their analytics say that at the college level you have to be able to throw 90 plus.
Right.
And but you know,
man, Greg Maddux couldn't play baseball today
for a lot of reasons. the pranks that guy used to pull are legendary.
Cy Young winner.
I
think he won that Cy Young for the Cubs when he was with the Cubs.
Yeah, he's a great pitcher for us.
Yeah. See, we got a little relationship.
Yeah.
The Cubs and the Braves.
They're always
a little give and take.
But. I forgot where I was going with that.
The
in general, though, analytic, I mean, and you'll see it with football, too.
Yeah, it has. It's made its way into football.
And it's, you know, with this whole, you know, go for it on fourth down and go for two all the time. It's like, okay.
That's what I would do. I would go for it on fourth down, and I would go for two every single time. If you ever played me in Madden, you would never,
all right,
Madden, never see me
Madden
punt.
And real NFL is a little different.
Whatever, man. It's all real.
But, you know.
It's in the game.
It's to quote McAfee. 3 points, while less than 7 points, is still more than no points. It's
that's
a very
true. That's the analytics for you.
Yeah, but you know that's and I, but I think a lot of time we take common sense and throw it out the window because something a computer told us.
You
and
know,
I don't think that's a great.
I
thing.
Think that I think we do that a lot in life.
And
that may be a good rule to apply to,
and,
to
you
all
know,
of our
it's,
lives.
Look at I, look goes at back goes back to a class that I took at Alabama. History and baseball.
Yeah.
And how any historical event you can track it back, any historical American event, you can track it back to a baseball field.
That's nice. Oh, I like that.
It was a wild class.
It reminds me of that baseball documentary that Ken Burns did.
Yes.
It was one of the best documentaries
it was
ever.
Very good.
And it was about
yeah.
way more than just baseball, obviously.
Well, and it's, I think it is tied to the American story.
The American story.
Baseball. And I love that he started that off by saying Abner Doubleday did not invent baseball because he did not.
People will come, Ray.
That movie should be in this.
I don't understand how. We got to be more, well, we'll talk about that. you know, speaking of baseball, though, that Katie Nolan, she's doing a great job.
She's getting a lot of crap online.
That's,
I like what she's doing.
I appreciate
I think
it.
It's Apple Plus. I'm not sure where I was watching her. I saw that she was streaming it somewhere. I figured it out.
I wonder if
I pay way too much a month for streaming services.
I wonder if some of the blowback she's getting isn't because of Apple Plus, though. You know, it's not her fault, because I think she's doing a great job.
I do too, and it's infinitely better than anything Alex Rodriguez was doing.
Oh my gosh, yes.
A-Rod. They're trying to do like a Peyton's Place with him.
Oh my.
That's not gonna work.
Is that just gonna be him going to the steroids guy and picking up his dose?
Well, they're doing a show like the Manning cast.
Yeah.
It's him and like a New York broadcaster who didn't get along, and they're like, we're gonna have him fight.
Oh, I'll watch that for about 15 minutes, see what happens.
I think that's when everybody's saying is like, after a little while, you know, two insufferable people. That's just not how I want to consume baseball.
You got to have an Eli there that's going to take the punches.
Yeah.
And then I think
the Manning cast is great.
That's a perfect dynamic.
Yeah. But it was something like there was one thing that went kind of viral from the A-Rod show where the guy was like, oh, you know, it's springtime. You know, everybody's getting engaged because J-Lo just got engaged. And then A-Rod just kind of went silent.
Oh, that's good.
So A-Rod went silent for a little while. I was like, well, 2-0 count here. It was, but yeah, no, I think Katie Nolan's doing a great job. Look forward to seeing what she can do for the rest of the way.
Shout out, Katie. We know you're a friend of the show.
I would love her to be a friend of the show. I just think she does amazing sports content.
The other big thing that's happening this week is the NFL draft. And we don't have any notes for that. We don't have prep for that. But I just want to mention that that's happening.
Something's going to happen.
We got something in the works. We'll either be doing an NFL draft show of some sort, or we'll do a recap of some kind on Monday.
And I'll definitely be tweeting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll be tweeting about it.
So be checking out our Twitter feed. I'm expecting Dallas to just do fantastic, because they do draft players pretty well.
For all of Jerry Jones' flaws, he drafts pretty well.
Just real quick, though, what do you think Atlanta's going to do? Are they going to trade back? Or are they going to take Malik?
You know, I think you need a...
Is it Malik Collins?
Malik Willis. No, I don't think so. You need a dance partner to trade.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
And I don't think there's any quarterback that has anybody wanting to jump up.
And nobody wants to jump up for anything else. That wide receiver out of Ohio State looks good.
So
they're not a building block for that Atlanta needs right now, though.
Every position is a position of need for the Falcons right now.
But it's a wasted pick on a first-round receiver when you don't have a quarterback to throw to him for a couple years, probably.
We're hoping to get a quarterback next year.
I'm saying, you're 3 or 4 years away removed from being in a place where now a wide receiver will help us.
Probably. I mean, I think...
Man, I hope that's not true for you guys, but
I think defense...
True.
I want to go defense.
Yeah.
I think what Dean Pease was able to do last year with guys who should be selling insurance playing starting on for our defense.
Yeah, it's fact you guys won 7 games. It's amazing.
Bonkers.
Bonkers, yeah.
And Dean Pease is a genius.
I get the feeling Dallas is going to go offensive line, so I'm not too excited about what's
there's a lot of good linemen in this.
Yeah, no.
But the thing is, though, with linemen, like – you hear about them during the draft, and then if they're any good, you don't hear about them again until they retire.
Until the Hall of Fame.
And which sucks, because they're it's great, and it's super important, and it's absolutely.
You were a lineman, weren't you? Yeah. You're speaking like someone who knows this from experience.
Yeah. but you know, they're the whole reason. You know, if you want to see how good a running back is,
look at offensive line.
Yeah, look at the holes he's running through.
You know, that's the whole Emmitt Smith versus Barry Sanders debate. Mm-hmm. That I've been having my entire life, and I could not agree more. Barry Sanders behind Dallas's offensive line in the 90s would have rushed for 2,500 yards a year.
So has Dallas just always had good offensive lines?
Well, we've had two of the best lines in the history of the game, in my opinion.
That's wild.
But that also explains 3 Super Bowls that we won in the 90s, and does not explain why incompetently our quarterback can't figure out how to throw a football the last 5 years. But that's neither
now,
here
now, what, what
nor
do you
there.
Think? What would you say? So it's a down quarterback year in the draft. But what would you say about taking a flyer on a quarterback this year? What's Dak?
Dak. Let me just say real quick. I am so glad that Dak signed his contract before the Deshaun Watson debacle happened.
Ooh.
We dodged a bullet there. Thank you. Because the contract he got is not worth it. I mean, I don't know. You know my feelings on Dak.
But quarterbacks' contracts are bloated.
They are incredibly bloated. But I don't think Dallas has any intention or feeling to do that. I do think what, that what where is, they're drafting would be a good spot to take one of these quarterbacks.
Like how many more years does he have left on his deal?
We just signed this one, so.
Gotcha. So he's got a lot.
He's got like 4 or 5 left, yeah.
Yeah, no, you aren't taking a quarterback.
No, he's with us. He is with us for better or for worse.
I don't. He'd be hard to move. And I think.
Yeah.
I definitely think he is a top 20 quarterback.
Yeah, I'll give him top 20. It's fine. Like he's a good quarterback in a lot of different ways. He just can't throw accurately, and that's kind of a big thing.
But you know, he's got a little bit of more of the mobility.
He does. Well, yeah, and maybe too much. He could cost us a playoff game, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of, just one more thing on the NFL. Then, as we move toward the draft, Baker Mayfield, does he get moved or not?
You know, he's another guy.
I'm shocked that
he is another
no
guy who
kid.
I definitely think is one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the NFL. I'm sorry, one of the 32 best. Like, he should be a starter.
Yeah, he should be in the NFL.
And I realize that when I say it, it comes up. But, like, I'm saying that, like.
But he is one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the world.
Yes.
And he should be a starter in the
NFL.
Should
be, like, there should be somewhere for him to go.
And yet.
And
he's cheap, man. He's on his, like, fifth year.
He is better, and I like Drew Lock, but he is better than Drew Lock.
Yeah. I don't understand why Seattle doesn't pull the trigger. Or
even my buddy from Publix. I saw him in a Publix once, like 3 weeks ago. Jacob Eason.
So you saw Jacob Eason at a Publix. What did he say?
It took me a second to realize because.
Does he live here in Atlanta?
He was here for something. Him and his really hot girlfriend.
Oh, that's cool.
Or fiance.
Let's get him on the show.
He's in Seattle now, I think, because he posted something about working out there. But he was buying beer, and
so
I was like, that's a really tall guy.
They got Drew Lock, they got Jacob Eason, and they don't want Baker.
And Geno Smith.
And Geno Smith.
I mean,
that's
that
quite
is a murderer's row of, I'm sorry.
All three of these quarterbacks, highly, highly touted at one point or another.
All three
career.
Of them are fantastic backups.
All three of them are great college quarterbacks.
Yes, yes, but they would make fantastic backups somewhere.
Yeah, and they've got three of them.
And that's his quarterback. That's the Seattle quarterback room right now.
Yeah, see, I think Baker would do well. I think Baker would do well here.
I think he's better than Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
I don't think he wants to come here.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't want to come here.
I think we had to twist Mariota's arm.
Yeah.
And be like,
no doubt.
Hey, you're going to play behind.
You guys gave him 2-year contract too.
It's
weird.
It's a one year with a team option. I think.
Okay. All right, that's better.
But I mean, we're going to have to draft a quarterback at some point.
It's not going to be this year.
I think we got to get some because I think we only have one other guy in contract and Mariota gets hurt all the time.
Why don't you guys wait until that kid out of Georgia?
He's coming tonight. I would love Stetson Bennett. Stetson Bennett would make me so happy.
Oh, he's going to be in this list of Drew Lock, Geno Smith, and Jacob Eason.
I think I'm going to put on my Nostradamus helmet here.
Oh, here we go.
He will play 3 years in the league and then be selling used cars and open up a bar in Athens called Stetson's.
That sounds about right.
And be on the radio broadcast.
That sounds about right. He's going to take the who was that kid that came out of Miami several years ago after they won the national championship? Yeah, I don't know. This was 20 years ago.
So, I was like, the other year, buddy.
This was 2003. What was his name? Dorsey?
Oh, Ken Dorsey.
Yeah.
He's a quarterback. He's like a really good quarterbacks coach now.
Yeah, that's going to be the boy. Stetson right there.
But – I love for Stetson.
Yeah.
He's going
to
be fine.
Yeah, he's going to be fine. All right, so let's move on now to our sad and talk a little bit about the NBA.
The playoffs have been awesome.
They have been.
The only reason it's in the sad category is because the Hawks are currently down 3-1.
That's right. And we are a Homer team, a Homer team podcast.
A Homer podcast. It's run by Homer Simpson. But it's been wild to me, like, because this is just not the team that I've seen all year.
Yeah.
And
the
Heat are a fantastic squad.
Yeah, they are.
But I mean, I haven't seen Trae Young shut down. He had 9 points last night.
He's struggling. And he said I saw a report after the game last night that he's like, I've never been covered like this before.
Yeah. Well, and the problem is, like, he's getting doubled. He's getting doubled every time he touches it.
Yeah.
And we don't have
who's your next guy? Who's the other guy? Right? You don't have one.
I mean,
Ben Simmons is probably available if you want to go trade for him.
Boy, what a story that is.
Oh my gosh.
Him sitting out that game.
Oh my gosh. Especially after all the hype of him coming back.
He's gotten paid and will not play this season. That is wild. And he's healthy.
Well, I heard he had some back soreness yesterday. At some point, the Heat, I mean, sorry, at some point the Nets know they're not going to win, and there's no reason to trot him out there. Why not just bench him and wait till next year?
I mean, we'll see. We're getting off topic.
Talk to me about the
Heat are very good.
The Heat are good. They were in the championship just a couple years ago. People forget that's who the Lakers won't beat. Yeah, right? So they're a good team. They're well coached.
I mean, Jimmy Butler is
great.
Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Bam Adebayo is really good.
They got a great supporting cast.
I think that kind of is the problem. I think our supporting cast with the Hawks right now is just young.
Yeah. Do you feel discouraged in the sense of like? Do you feel like we're taking a step back?
I think every other team in the East got better.
And we stayed the same.
Yes.
And we're just not as hot.
We didn't make any moves to like get any better.
Yeah.
And so I think it's going to be interesting to see what we do in the offseason. Now, the season isn't over yet for us.
That's right.
You know, we could see TNT Trey.
You know.
He could, you know, go off for 30.
You're definitely going to see him show up for that. Like, he's going to try to be that.
I mean, but that like, game-winning floater he hit in game three.
Yeah, it's
phenomenal.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Reminds you a lot of what?
Why we love the kid.
Oh, I thought you said it reminds me a lot
of Oklahoma. I love this kid.
I thought you said it reminds me a lot of my kid, and I was like,
well, he reminds me of my kid too.
Kiefer, I've never seen touch a basketball.
No, but she likes to flip people off when she goes to see the next play.
Man, how much he lives rent free in Knicks fans' heads is one of my favorite things. But I definitely think he's going to show up. I think. We kind of Clint Capella coming back.
Yeah.
Was good last night, but he might have not been 100%. Hopefully he's at actually 100% this week or, you know, on Tuesday.
Yeah.
But I mean, we got to, you know, stop. I mean, I think the commentator said it best when he said, this looks like an NBA team playing a college team.
Yeah.
We just looked terrible last night. And we were up by 7 at one point, and then, you know, there was a bad call, and we just couldn't get over it.
You got to go out and get another piece. You got to bring in somebody else. You got to bring in somebody. You got to bring in a Robin. Trey needs a Robin. And I don't know who that's going to be. I don't know who's going to be
available. I think that there's a lot of great talent on our roster right now, but none of them have emerged as a true number two.
Yeah. Maybe Collins, if he had stayed healthy, would have made that step. Or DeAndre.
And Collins, I think, is – DeAndre's a little young, great defender, but we need a little more out of him offensively.
Yeah.
He had open shots. He just wasn't hitting them last night. Well,
I don't know if James Harden has picked the team he's going to play for next year, but
no,
maybe
– hard pass. He's a great player, but it doesn't seem to end up well.
Yeah.
Speaking of – super teams.
Yeah, let's start
the Nets.
Yeah, are they super? I don't know.
They're supposed to be.
I feel like they're their own kryptonite. If they're going to be super team,
they
traded away a player and brought on a player that's not going to play this year, as we talked about already. But you still have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. I don't understand.
I think if you were to have every NBA player play one-on-one,
yeah.
I think Kevin Durant beats everybody.
You think so?
I think Kyrie
could beat him.
That'd be the only guy who could beat him.
LeBron could take anybody.
KD is 7 feet tall and moves like a guard.
Hey, LeBron is 280 pounds and moves like a tight end.
But he's in that echelon.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. He'd be right there. I mean,
you're right. You know, the fact that he is, as he likes to say, 6'12". Because if he was a 7-footer, they'd make him play center.
That's right. That's
right. He's 6'11".
He's a Rob the Boss player, from what I understand, from what I hear.
You know, that was a good. I get what he's saying.
Yeah, yeah. I've had some animosity for Kevin Durant ever since he left Oklahoma City.
That's where this is coming from.
Yeah. So let me just say that you don't. Yeah. You know, that whole thing, and not to revisit something that happened years and years and years ago, but man, you don't get up on a team 3-1. Let that go and then move to that team the next year. Like, that is just – he is riding curtails, man. I
don't know what it is, because he has the talent.
Does he? No, I don't know.
James, he's really
this
damn
is like
good.
Me talking about Tom Brady. I don't know.
Yeah.
overrated, I think. But, no, you're right. He is absolutely good, but his attitude,
and
his,
you know,
mentality,
he's,
maybe.
He's a guy who, like – you know, he's been called with burner accounts on Twitter a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And you know,
oh,
you
so
think
sensitive.
You know the saying of like lions don't care themselves of the opinions of sheep.
That's right.
That man's a lion, and he's really cares about the opinions of sheep.
He really does.
Which is odd to me because.
Yeah.
But he shouldn't.
There's something going on.
Yeah.
He's not like, he didn't have that instinct that like Kobe had. Right?
Yeah.
Because he is, you know, he is that level of player, and mm-hmm. yet.
I mean, even I think now I will say one thing that's been interesting about this whole NBA postseason is without LeBron, LeBron's just been tweeting.
Yeah.
And it's been kind of fun.
It's like, fun to have him on the couch tweeting.
Yeah. I want to see him on like a broadcast. You know?
You know he will be. At some point, maybe even this season.
Yeah, but I'm thinking like, you know, a little postseason bringing LeBron.
Yeah.
Because he's a smart guy for all of the flaws of him. He's a smart guy who does pretty well.
You want to see a show that I would watch, like a Manning cast kind of show. You get Michael and you get LeBron talking about a game while it's happening.
That would be wild.
That would be amazing. I think that would be fantastic.
Man, that would actually be awesome. I would love to see that.
And maybe throw in an old school. You could even throw in like Magic. Like you could throw in like three generations of player.
Yeah.
And maybe mix it up, throw in a little Allen Iverson every once in a while. Just have him come on as a guest.
I mean, well, no, that could be the show, and they could do just like Manny Cast and have call-ins.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's great.
But, I mean, because those are two guys who are so
GOAT.
Different,
they're
too.
They're called GOAT. GOAT basketball.
I mean, because, like, their mentalities are so different. That would be interesting, like, personality-wise.
Oh, man, that would be fun.
But, yeah, no, I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of it, man. NBA playoffs are fun to watch.
They are fun to watch. I hope the Hawks can pull it out. I hope they can at least win a game.
Let's get it to six.
All right.
Let's get it to game six.
All right, so for our fun today, we are going to hit up, finally complete our sports movie bracket challenge. All right, so this has been going on since the beginning of NCAA tournament.
I don't think we realized how long it was going to take.
But we are down to the championship game. And this is Rocky, number one seed, versus Hoosiers, number one seed. Rocky versus Hoosiers. This is a huge matchup.
So,
now, both of us are disappointed that Field of Dreams is not in this. I think we both assumed that at the beginning, the way we talked about it and the way we both feel about that movie, we are shocked that it didn't make it. But we left it up to Twitter, and with Twitter, we get this matchup instead of Field of Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no baseball, Ray. There's no go the distance. There's no if you build it, he will come. There's none of that.
That's we'll talk about Field of Dreams another episode. So I think what we need to start off with here is, what do you think defines a sports movie?
Oh, wow.
Or what do you think defines a good sports movie?
Yeah.
Because there's...
So I think a sports movie has to reflect what's good about sports, particularly what is good about the particular sport that it is showing you, right?
And there has to be X amount, and I think the plot has to be centered around...
Driven by the actual sport itself, right? If we're going to be fair, which might actually disqualify Field of Dreams anyway, right? In some sense.
I mean, but like, I don't think... Like, baseball is a clear defining factor of that movie.
That's true. And it's got a great speech. Oh, my gosh. Can we just declare Field of Dreams the winner?
No.
And walk away?
No. Our fans.
All right. So so let's talk about it. So Rocky is clearly about this underdog kid who gets a shot at the title.
Yes.
And it is all about him rising up. Back on the street. Right? I don't think that's Rocky 3. But if we take just the movie Rocky and forget about sequels for just a second. That movie is 1976, won Best Picture for the Academy Awards. Written by Sylvester Stallone, who took a pay cut in order to be the actor.
Didn't he, like, sell his dog or something?
Yeah, that was like a personal sacrifice, huge.
Yeah.
And it's kind of his own story if he had ever gotten a shot, because he was a boxer, but he did not ever get this shot, right?
He also kind of stole the story from a guy's life, but that's a whole other story.
Well, you know, it's Sylvester Stallone, whatever.
Yeah.
But the movie didn't
pay him royalties.
The movie itself is phenomenal. It's a game changer as far as sports movies go. And what I like about it the most is that the thing that he wanted to do was, it wasn't even that he wanted to win. He knew he couldn't win. He can't beat the champ. He just wanted to go the distance. And
yeah.
He went the distance. And Creed retains the title at the end. He does not win.
Yeah. And that's why I like Rocky 1 so much.
Yes.
Because there's no way that some like random local boxer can actually beat Muhammad Ali.
And that was the truth. That was the truth of what the movie, and so what it basically tells you is that this is a sports movie about personal growth, about overcoming challenges, about setting a goal and meeting it, and the reality of the fact that it's not about winning. Sports are not always about winning. So that's going to be hard to beat.
Hoosiers, I watched it again recently.
All right. Make the case.
I mean, I can't speak as eloquently as you just did there. But, you know, the underdog story is a little bit there. I mean, it's a high school that, you know, has been good for a while, and then, you know, the best player all of a sudden won't play.
Yep.
Kid says about five words the whole movie. kind of odd. Another movie made a long time ago.
Yeah.
So
both 70s, I think. I think Hoosiers is 70s, maybe early 80s.
Yeah, Hoosiers made 70s, set in the, like, 50s.
Okay.
Indiana.
Yep.
So everybody looks the same. Yep. Very white.
Mm-hmm. This is before Coach Carter.
Yes. But it's a similar, you know, this ragtag group of five or six. I mean, at one point, I think they have six guys on the team, and they have to use the equipment manager to come off the bench. But it's interesting story, and you know, the best player's name I'm forgetting, you know, won't play with because he's like the old coach's father figure, I believe.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the new coach has to talk to him about things that aren't basketball, force him to talk him into playing.
Yeah.
And it's heralded as the Rocky of basketball.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which
might give you the answer right there.
Not the Rocky. I'm sorry. The Rudy.
The Rudy. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Which, and here's the other thing I will say about Hoosiers. There is a lot of basketball in that movie.
Yeah, that's true. Like, that's true.
They, I mean, you know, Rocky, there's a lot of, you know, I mean, he buys fish at one point. Like,
well, he's in love with the girl. He's got, you know, Adrian. Man.
Ain't no fish buying in Hoosiers. That's all I'm saying.
That's part of his motivation. Become a better boxer, I think, maybe.
To impress the girl?
Well, nothing. But he's just, you know, it's the best part of the best.
I bring up fish, and this man starts talking really high pitched voice.
So you do have in Hoosiers, you do have that spirit of the basketball. You have the actual basketball being played. You have the spirit,
which is something I always think, like, you lose a lot of sports movies. Is like there's three sports scenes in this movie. You know,
yeah,
it's like you don't actually get to see much of the sports, and a lot of that's because these actors are terrible athletes.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly
sadly,
right.
I'm 100% right there.
That's exactly right. But then you get, you know, Shaq to come in and.
Well, Shaq is an alien who can somehow do everything.
And you get to feel good coming from Hoosiers as well, right?
Yes, because they win the championship. Yeah. I watched it really, really late.
Yeah.
A couple nights ago and kind of nodding off during the championship. To my credit, though, it was like 3:30 in the morning.
Man, you've been staying up late.
I don't know, man.
Your life's out of control, dude.
It's got to get back on the wheels.
You got to get back on the wheels. Get back on the track. Look, I'm gonna say, I think Hoosiers is a great movie.
I think Rocky as well, solely because it's a little more believable.
Yeah.
And that because he doesn't win.
I think it just hits, no pun intended, all of the puns. It hits all of the markers that we're looking for. I'm gonna say
in a sports movie, yes.
That our champion, if you're with me.
I'm with you.
Okay. So our champion then for our first annual sports movie bracket challenge. Rocky.
Yeah.
Well done. Ding,
I will
ding,
say though.
Ding ding.
Rocky,
there ain't gonna be no rematch.
Rocky, when you go
Adrian!
Back and watch it, there's a lot of like really weird scenes. Like,
no, there is. Really, he drinks those eggs. That's weird.
And like, there's a lot of times it's like, man, we gotta cut to another camera. you know, like this
we
is
only
this
got
is
the one.
This is a boring scene. We gotta move some stuff around. But a phenomenal movie though, and it spawned off a great series.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, absolutely. there's no Hoosiers 2.
Yeah, there is no Hoosiers 2, and even if there was, who cares? Because you couldn't beat Rocky 2 and Rocky 3 and Rocky 4.
Now, Rocky 2 is where it gets weird. Rocky 3 is kind of forgettable.
Rocky
4
was one of my favorite movies.
Rocky 4
up.
Is amazing.
Yeah, it
is. Rocky 5 is terrible.
Into the Cold War, as you say.
It ended the Cold War. Yeah,
and then we got Creed coming. You know, those
Creed
movies
Creeds
are
awesome,
amazing.
And Rocky Balboa was good.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, getting back to the roots.
Really. My favorite was. The guy we fought in that was Mason the Line Dixon. What a terrible movie name.
Is that the one that starts with him like winning in a computer-generated match?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's like old.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, let's have you fight this kid.
Is it Creed 2 where the Russian guy comes back?
Yeah,
his son
he
wants
fights
to fight.
Ivan Drago's son.
Yeah.
Who was he was kicked out of Russia.
Well,
because it brought honor on
what a legacy. Russia. What a legacy.
Yes.
So, Rocky, well done. Congratulations. We'd like to hear what you guys think on Twitter. Did we get it right? Did we get it wrong? We don't really care, but we'd like to hear.
It's over.
It's over. And Field of Dreams, we'll see you next time, man.
Yeah, I would love to talk to Field of Dreams. Anybody who wants to.
All right, buddy. All right. We'll see you guys next week.